Hello, and welcome to the relaunch of Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners presented by the United States Sentencing Commission. My name is John Scapini, and I'm a publishing and public affairs specialist at the Commission, and I'm delighted to introduce this episode. In this episode, my colleagues Lori Baker and Andrea Edgar get into the nuts and bolts of the Commission's helpline service, which helps practitioners in applying the federal sentencing guidelines. As I mentioned, this is the relaunch of Sentencing Practice Talk, so be sure to follow us on iTunes or Spotify to get new episodes as soon as they're posted. Without further ado, here's Lori and Andrea.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lori Baker, and I'm part of the education and training team here at the U.S. Sentencing Commission. I joined the commission in January of 2020, and in my previous life, I was a U.S. probation officer in the Middle District of Pennsylvania. I'm joined today by my colleague, Andrea Edgar. She is the newest member of the education and sentencing practice team, and she joined the commission in January of 2024. So welcome, Andrea. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, Lori. Yes, thank you so much. Really excited to be here and looking forward to doing these podcasts more often. A little bit about myself before joining the commission. In my former life, I was a federal probation officer, focused heavily on writing pre-sentence reports. I started my career in the District of Arizona before moving to the Middle District of Florida and finishing up in the District of Rhode Island.
Well, we are happy to have you here. Andrea and I will both tell you that we have learned more about Sentencing Commission resources than we ever thought we could know when we were out in the field, and we wish we knew more. So we want to share with you some of our experiences, things that we have learned, and we want to start today by talking about the helpline. The helpline is something that I didn't even know existed when I was working as a practitioner in the field for many years. How about you?
Same. I think it took me a few years to realize that it even existed, and then maybe another year after that to even know what it was.
Right. So the helpline exists really to help any practitioner in the field with guideline application questions. So even once I learned that the helpline existed, I think when I look back through records, I only ever called maybe five times in over 20 years. And now that I'm here at the commission, I really wish I would have called much more frequently.
I think when I looked back in our system, I called twice. And I definitely had more than two questions throughout my career. And I really wish I had called more often. I think looking back on my experience writing pre-sentence reports, I had this fear that if I called in with a question, it would mean I didn't know something that I was supposed to know, or that I would be seen as unintelligent, or my questions might be silly. And I was just missing something very plainly written in the manual. But that's really not the case. And I really wish I had called more often. It would have saved me a lot of time and struggle.
Yeah, I agree. I think I had the same reasons for not calling. And I also really didn't want to bother people at the commission with what I thought probably was a pretty easy question. But now you and I are on the opposite side, and we're answering those helpline questions. And so we have a completely different perspective. And we know that there is no question that is too small. We are happy to answer any question that people have. When I go out in the field and train and I ask people if they've ever heard about the helpline, I get about a 25% response. And then when I ask if people have called, the responses get even smaller. So we really try to encourage people to reach out to us when they have those guideline application questions.
I just joined the commission in January of this year, so I haven't been on the receiving end of the helpline for very long, but it seems like the questions are pretty varied from a lot of different people throughout the system. Do we have historically one type of question that people kind of tend to ask over and over again? What are you seeing, or what have you been seeing throughout your career?
You know, I see questions that are on a variety of topics. I think right now we're receiving a lot of questions that relate to the amendments that took effect in November of 2023. There are some things that are new. We have some new guideline applications. So those are frequent questions right now. But generally, we get topics on a variety of guidelines all the time. A lot of grouping questions, a lot of questions come down to a relevant conduct analysis because that factors into so many guideline applications, criminal history. But no, I wouldn't say that there's anything that jumps out at me that's a general frequent question.
I think I've seen the same thing. And recently, I've actually been getting a lot of questions about data on our website. And I can point folks to our interactive data analyzer, some of our other educational resources, and just ways for them to kind of assist themselves on our website with doing their research for other parts of the sentencing process. But I agree with you. I thought it was only going to be guidelines. And turns out it can kind of go beyond that.
It can, and sometimes sentencing questions generally. And sometimes we can help you with those questions, and sometimes they're just beyond our scope. But we'll at least be able to tell you that or maybe point you in another direction. But let's talk a little bit about how to access the helpline. Historically, we only had our helpline phone number, which was printed on the back of the guideline manual. It's a voicemail system. You can call and leave a message, and we will call you back. But a few years ago, we pivoted to an online portal, and we have really had a lot of success with the online portal, wouldn't you say, Andrea?
I actually prefer the online portal and really encourage folks to use that method instead of the voicemail system.
What do you think is more useful for the online system?
I think the online system is more useful both for the person asking the question and for those of us on the receiving end of the helpline here at the commission for a few reasons. One, people can really slow down, take their time, and make sure their question is well thought out. They can make sure all the information they want us to have is in the question in advance, which allows us to research before calling them back to make sure we're giving them a good and accurate response. And my biggest pro for the helpline online submission form versus the voicemail is sometimes folks will call in and they will speak very quickly. Their cell phone might cut out, or they will ramble through their phone number. And if I can't understand what they're asking or who they are and what their number is, I can't call them back and answer their question. So I think the online submission really cuts down on a lot of those just user error issues, technology issues, and allows us to be better prepared when we reach out to give them the help they're asking for.
Yeah, and I think that the feedback I'm getting from the field is that people really are appreciating that online form. I looked at our statistics from 2023, and we had about 2,800 questions submitted to the helpline. Most of those are from probation officers, and then the next two categories are defense attorneys and prosecutors. We get some calls from judges and law clerks as well, but most of our calls now are coming in through that online system. So you can find that at ussc.gov, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll find a link that says Ask a Question. That'll bring up the form for you to submit. Now let's talk a little bit about how we answer questions. I know sometimes I call somebody back and the first thing I say is, I'm not going to have a clear yes or no answer for you. And originally that felt kind of frustrating to me, and I know it can frustrate people on the other end of the phone who think, I'm calling the Sentencing Commission, they should have the exact answer to my question. But so many of these questions are fact specific, and what we can do is guide you through the steps of making your decision. We can't necessarily make that decision for you. Has that been your experience as well?
I completely agree, and I love what you just said. We guide, not decide. I'm going to steal that and print that on the manual. But I completely agree. I think just remembering back when I was in district writing these reports, and you've got deadlines and questions coming in from all angles, calling the helpline can feel like you want an answer. You want that double check. You want that support. And because all of the facts in a case can be so different depending on how you're looking at it and what role you're playing within the sentencing process, there's really no way to ever give a yes or a no on a lot of questions. So knowing that we're going to help people through their analysis versus give them a definitive yes or no, I think is really critical. And I think it'll empower people to really have more confidence in making their decisions and their choices when applying these guidelines out in the field.
Yeah, we actually sometimes will get calls from parties on the same case, maybe a probation officer one day, a defense attorney another day. And based on the facts that are presented to us during that conversation, our answer might be slightly different. And that's not anybody's fault. It's because so often these decisions will hinge on one minor fact that is presented. So just keep that in mind when you submit a question and we call you back. Whether you call us on the helpline or you submit an online form, we will call you to talk through your question. And we try to do that within 48 hours. So also, we do sometimes get calls saying, you know, I've got a sentencing this afternoon and I have this question. We may not be able to get back to you that quickly. So try to give that lead time of 48 hours to get your response. All right. Anything else you think we need to share about the helpline?
I just want to really reiterate, it's such a great resource and there really is no question that is too small. And use the online help form. It's much less stressful, I can promise you. The two times I did call in were voicemail situations, and I'm pretty sure they were rambling and hectic. So I wish I had used that online form just for self-preservation purposes. It's a great resource. I encourage everyone to use it. We love chatting with everyone in the field. It's one of my favorite parts of the job.
And we have a number of other resources that we, Andrea and I, have talked about, things that are helpful to people. So stay tuned for our next podcast where we are going to talk about the annotated guideline manual. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify to stay up to date. If you've got a question for the helpline or want to access any of the resources discussed in this episode, you can find us at ussc.gov. Please be advised that the information provided by the Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and is not binding upon the Commission, court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.